Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Mind you, if that was in San Francisco, Jimmy G, no one in that locker room said he can go win you games. They just said, manage the game, go play great defense, hand the ball off, don't turn the ball over, and we can go win. Jimmy G. Now, transfer. Jared Goff leaves and goes to Dan Campbell. Campbell a little bit reminds me of a guy named Jim Harbaugh. John's in Baltimore. Look what Harbaugh does for a guy, the quarterback that you had in Herbert. Look at the way Jim has gotten Herbert to believe that he's good. He's running around. He believes it. You go look at Jared Goff. Jared Goff is not the same quarterback that was with the Rams. He believes it. The guys in the locker room believe it. The coaches believe it. They ask him. They don't hold back. They make him do everything. Herbert now has been playing in at an MVP type of level because his quarterback, his coaches, and his players and everyone believes. They knew he was good, but now they know that he can be great. You have to realize Jared Goff got traded, and you look at Stafford, you look at Jared Goff's numbers and compare him to anyone. Jared Goff is playing good football because they ask him to do anything and everything. He threw four interceptions against the Texans, came back and got in a shootout and had to go back and win that game. They don't hold back on him, and they believe in him. So when you're asking me, can he do it? He can do it because his coach and his staff and the players on his team, they have spoke life into that man, and he believes that he can do anything.
Jared Goff and the Detroit Lions right now, just one blemish on the record, only one loss, but yet still only a game in front of the on-charging both the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. Really quick, the other game that was played on Thanksgiving, which we have detailed, that being the Chicago Bears debacle and that loss to the Detroit Lions. I just want to stay with that game for a moment because there's someone on the text line here. And Paul, I'm going to give you the shout out. It's Paul from Los Altos. And I'm not going to read this verbatim because it's kind of long, but he says that we're misinterpreting everything, that the Bears quarterback totally botched the game, not the coach. And after the game, the coach had the class to not throw him under the bus. And he talks about how it was time management and that you don't see the likes of Tom Brady or Joe Montana would never do something like that, that this was on the quarterback, that being a rookie by the name of Caleb Williams and his poor clock management, that he's responsible for the loss yesterday, not Eberflus, and Eberflus was a stand-up guy by taking the bullets for him. Your thoughts?
1,000% disagree with him. Yeah. Now, I've seen coaches take the bullets for players. I've seen coaches stand up there and say, hey, you know what? I got to do better. It's not the player's job, not the player's fault. It's my job to do better. And he's taking a bullet because people that are around that know football, they would know we had a guy, McCree, when I was playing with the Chargers, we're beating New England Patriots. He intercepts the ball. All he has to do is fall down. He tries to run it back when you got the greatest running back of the league in LaDainian Tomlinson. You're winning the game with 4 minutes left. If you fall down right there, you get in victory and you run the ball, you kick the ball. Instead, you intercept it on your own 10-yard line and you think you're going to run it 90 yards. You fumble the ball back. New England has a short field and they score. All he has to do, I mean, Coach Marty's just like, hey, look, we got to do a better job. That's not the play to lose it. That's class, and that's falling on the sword for the player when that was McCree's fault. Now, here's the thing that's different. You have to realize Marty Schottenheimer couldn't have ran out there and called timeout or go grab the guy and push him on the ground and say, get down because run the clock out. When this is what this guy's making this text, what he fails to realize is 32 seconds left. All the head coach has to do is call timeout. You have to realize it's not on the quarterback. You are the head coach. You can call timeout. You take that out of the player's hand. I don't care. Brady could be saying, I'm calling the play. Belichick, how many times called timeout in front? Oh, and Brady was like, I'm ready to run a play. And he's upset because that is the head coach. You are the head coach in that situation with 32 seconds left. You're the head coach. It's not bad time management by the quarterback because the quarterback, yes, he's trying to get up there and get online. The coach pulls to say timeout. The coach, all he has to do is go to the official, there's an official right next to him and say, time out. We just got sacked. Time out. What is so hard? How is that falling on the sword for your player? That's you as a head coach that you know you can call timeout because you have more gravitas than that player. That's where you step in and call timeout because you have a timeout left.
And the two-minute drill is something that you prepare for. So I would think if you're a good coach or an efficient coach, like all of that is something that you've prepped for, and every scenario is something that should have been at some point rehearsed. And as the 2 minutes are unwinding, he should be like a play ahead. And I'm talking about Eberflus, but this is sort of the struggle, especially in today's NFL, when you have a rookie quarterback and you take him number one overall, and we're talking about Caleb Williams, but you have a head coach who cut his teeth on the other side of the ball, that being a defensive-minded guy with Indianapolis. You know, I've always thought about this, and I always thought it was a good idea. You know, I used to do a show with Mike Holmgren, and he talked about how, because he botched the Super Bowl with, he didn't blow it against Pittsburgh, but he didn't handle his timeouts. But it's almost like it's a separate game. Like, these guys are really brilliant. And then the timeouts, not in this instance, but in terms of saving timeouts, knowing how many you have left, Sean McVay hired a guy specifically to put him up upstairs and just say, look, this is all you do to get a paycheck from the Los Angeles Rams. Work the clock. Tell me what it is that how many timeouts I have left. You manage the clock. I always thought that was a brilliant idea. If I was a head coach, that would be one of the first things I'd do.
Without a doubt. And here's the thing. I understand what the text, you know, he's saying, look, here's a coach didn't want to sell his player out. It's 32 seconds. You're the head coach. If you see, I mean, that's like if saying, hey, look, you know that your kid is, you know, you're coaching your son or your daughter, and all of a sudden, hey, look, you see them getting ready to go up the bat or something, and they don't have something on right or whatever. You say, hey, look, hold on. Let me get this thing right. You're the head coach. You're in a game situation with 32 seconds. Your quarterback just got, guys are taught to just get up and get back to the line. You have the ability. The referee is right next to you. And that's why he got fired. It wasn't because he fell on the sword for the player. They fired him because you're the head coach with 32 seconds left. And then you go to the media and say, I thought that was great. We need to. You don't have 2 minutes. You don't have a bunch of time. You have 32 seconds and the clock is ticking. What are you saving the timeout for? You don't put that on your player. That's you as a coach, because now you can call timeout. You can bring the player to the sideline. And now the offensive coordinator and say, what are you seeing? You get a timeout. Now you have an opportunity with 32 seconds. A play usually lasts 6 seconds. You can throw the out route, but throw the out route to try to get to the sideline to stop the clock. But you know, more than likely, they're going to play cover eight. That's four across and four in the middle. They're going to play cover four, cover eight, where cover four is four guys across. Are they going to play cover eight, four underneath and four on top? And they're going to play boundaries, so you have to throw the ball in the middle of the field. You throw them all in the middle of the field in 6 seconds go off. Then you run to the line and you clock it. So now that takes you down to 18 seconds. You still have enough time to run one more play, clock it, or get out of bounds. And run up and kick a field goal. That is 1,000% on the coach. 1,000.
And certainly the Chicago Bears front office felt as much as, Mr. Matt Eberflus, much to the delight of Carter Chickering, was canned today. Carter finding some delight in the fact that a poor guy's on the beach, as they like to say, at the soup kitchen. So he gets canned today. And we talked about this earlier. By the way, just before we put a bow on all of that, just to give you once again an NBA example, the head coach of the Miami Heat, who is just a legend, Eric Spoelstra, big fan of his, earlier this year, he called a timeout in overtime in a game where they were down two. Miami had the basketball with just seconds left. He didn't have any timeouts left.
Spo.
And he called the timeout.
Chris Webber.
Exactly. And it ended the game. What's the first thing he did in the press conference?
Owned it.
It's on me. I just lost our team a game. That can't happen. That's begins and ends with me. What more do you want? And that's all he said for the next 10 minutes. They went after him, and he's like, me. So, yeah, Eberflus, I think that, listen, the way you handled that press conference, to me, that was the done deal. But just getting back again to the Chicago Bears, you have a coaching vacancy.
Mm.
Bill Belichick, my man.
God.
That looks good, football team.
That looks more and more attractive. If you're Bill Belichick.
Think about the six games that they've lost.
Wow.
I mean, that wild one to Washington, which was, Eberflus could have been canned after that one, quite frankly.
And Belichick's not making that mistake.
No, that isn't happening with Belichick team.
He's calling timeout with 32 seconds left and giving his team three other plays. Belichick would be well in Chicago because that team has some talent.
To cut you off for a second, not only would it, if Belichick is coaching that team, obviously he's not losing that game yesterday, or at least he's not
getting an overtime.
Yeah.
Chance.
Or at least he's not ending the game with a timeout in his pocket.
Right.
But if Belichick is coaching that loss to Jayden Daniels in Washington, I don't think that happens either. There's no way one of his DBs is talking to the fans in Chicago for a Bill Belichick coach team.
He's cut the next day. Belichick would have probably, if that guy's doing that with the Belichick team, you're not paying attention, and then the ball comes right where you're at. You're in so celebrating and engaged with fans. You're cut, you're benched, you're fine. That was inexcusable. But guess what? You don't do that with Belichick. That's the difference. You are talking about a man that has gravitas that players know better. They know what they can get away. I'm telling you, players have to be disciplined. Players have to be coached, and they have to be coached hard. Because if not, you give them an inch, we'll take them out. I was on teams that, if you can push, when you got a nice coach and the coach is a pushover, guys will push it. There's a lot of guys will work hard and say, look, I don't care, I won't do that. But sometimes you got to have a coach. If your coach is not like that, you better have some assistant coaches that are going to do your job. Because you have to, there's a lot of testosterone. You have to manage these men.
Who was your head coach in San Diego?
Marty. Marty Schottenheim was unbelievable.
Well, not Marty, but
Norv Turner.
Norv Turner had all those good teams. He came over from the Skins.
Yep. Norv Turner was not a leader of men. And you ask the guys in Washington Redskins, they would quit on him, do certain things. They wouldn't listen. But Norv's a great guy, and he's a great coach, one of the best offensive minds that's ever been in the game. But when you don't have a guy that's a leader of men, guys will take advantage of your weakness, and they take it for granted, and they will push you. And that's why Norv Turner would never win a championship as a head coach.
How good was Antonio Gates, not only as a tight end, but as a hooper?
Oh, dude could play.
Did you play with him?
Oh, he would go to like the gym and just watch him throw it down, slam it any kind of way, but just had a great stroke, could throw the ball, Kent State. The dude could play. He went undrafted, didn't he? Undrafted.
That's crazy.
Undrafted, brother.
All right. Speaking of undrafted, he wasn't undrafted, certainly when he came out of college, but when you think about our man Josh Allen, nobody offered him an opportunity. All right, we got to get out. We continue here on 95.7 The Game. More 49er talk as they get ready for the Buffalo Bills with Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone. 95.7 The Game.
Okay, I see you.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Lorenzo Neal and Dan Avone filling in for Willard and Dibs on this Friday. Dude, what the hell is it that you're doing during breaks? You get this. I'm telling you, just about every host that works here at 95.7 The Game, I'm willing to bet from Willard and Dibs, from Bonte and Goo and Steiny and Shasky, nobody is pumping out push-ups like you during a break.
Every break, I try to not get 40 to 50 push-ups,
Is that what you do, 40 to 50?
Uh-huh. you know, just to get keep the blood going, keep them biceps. You know, I want to make sure your boy still has
That's crazy.
You know, man. You know, got to stay ready, baby. Got to stay ready.
That is wild. Are you getting? I mean, are you on some sort of a program? Are you?
No, I just. You know what? I think push-ups is great. I was doing a lot of the Fit 45. It's a really great class, high intensity, but I got a little fender bender in my knee. This young gal just pulled out in front of me, and I jacked up my knee, and it has been like 6-7 months, and it has not healed the right way. So I've been trying to take it easy, trying to walk more, trying to get in the pool and do my cardio in there, but it's been tough because I usually like to run, and that knee, when your knee, it's just, it sucks having a bad knee. My knee has never hurt this bad after 17 years of pros, 4 years of college,
seriously,
high school, never wow. this bad, bro. But yeah, I stay on it. I stay on it.
All right. Let's stay on the San Francisco 49ers and get back to the phone lines. We're going to open them up officially here for this segment at 888-957-9570. Just give me Rob hanging out in Pittsburgh, wants to talk about the head coach of the Niners, Kyle Shanahan.
Rob, what's up, baby? What's buzzing,
hey, good
cousin?
Evening, gentlemen. Happy holidays, Lorenzo. I love you. You should be and will be a Hall of Famer, buddy.
My man.
My question to you, gentlemen, and I have to direct it to Lorenzo, please, if you could. You can elaborate as an experienced NFL player who has been in the locker room with coaches. Do you gentlemen, believe, is there a possibility that Kyle Shanahan, as much as the players respect him and the coaching staff, but the way the season has been going and, you know, we don't know what's going to happen this Sunday, of course, but we hope that there's a win for the 49ers. But is there a possibility, and if so, you can elaborate, that the coaches, along with Kyle Shanahan, might be losing that locker room, might be losing the players, not respect, but just, you know, being on the same page, what Kyle wants to happen on that football field. Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. I don't think that guys have lost respect. I just don't know if they're able to do the job they're being asked to do. Let's start with the defensive side of the ball. If you look at some of the stats and the numbers, they don't look as horrifying as what you've seen. But when you think about what they've done defensively, you have guys that are playing positions and playing defense that they are not able to play it at the level that the defense calls you to play it as. And for instance, the three technique. The three technique is playing between the guard and the guard and the center. His job is to be able to grub. It's called grub. Grab the center, hold the guard, and hold them, create a new line of scrimmage, and hold them close to the line of scrimmage so it gives the Mike linebacker an opportunity that he can run downhill, either hit the A gap or B gap, whatever it depends on. But when you have a guy that's a little light, when you're talking about the gravedigger, a little light, now he's injured, but you can push him off the ball and create a new line of scrimmage, and now the guard can block down on him and keep his outside shoulder free, and he can block down and turn him over to the center, and they push him 3 yards up the field, and now the guard can come up to the linebacker. Now you're asking Fred Warner, the linebacker, to be able to take on a guard that's 300 pounds, and he didn't take him on that side of the ball. So when you do that, now your linebacker is running a hump. He's getting engaged, and now you ask him to come off and make a tackle. And if he's making the tackles, then it's 4, 5, 6, even further down the field because he's engaged with the offensive lineman, which outweighs him by 70, 80 pounds. And now he's got to come off and try to make a arm tackle on a running back. That's very hard to do. So I'm saying this wide nine, and at times the guy's interior are not able to hold the point and let the linebackers run downhill. This defense is at its best when the linebackers can get downhill and shoot the gaps, or they know that that three technique is going to stop that A gap. So they know if that A gap is plugged, the only gap now is going to be the B gap. So that linebacker can run and hit the B gap. And that's why sometimes you see plays where they're made in the backfield, 1 yard back, or right at the line of scrimmage. It's because the linebacker had a clear run. When that three technique is getting pushed off the ball and pushed back, and now the linebacker can't hit that gap, that's when you have spaces. So I don't think they're losing faith in Kyle Shanahan. I just don't know if they have the guys and the players to able to execute the fronts and the things that they're trying to do defensively and offensively. The offense is not.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
I'm getting the push down the field to let this offense really have success the way that we used to see it happen is because of the fact they're able to run the ball in this stretch offense, and now the defense have to cover every blade of grass, and that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's Kyle Shanahan losing the locker room. It's Kyle Shanahan losing his players.
Mm.
I mean, at some point, yeah. You never want to make excuses, but this is like the practice squad.
Yeah.
Once again, just to reiterate, starting on offense, the 49ers will be without their best, maybe arguably their best football player, that being Trent Williams. And the guy next to him, that being the guard, Mr. Banks, is not going to be available as well. When you think about what's happening defensively, if it's not Fred Warner, your best football player, then it's Nick Bosa, and Nick Bosa is not going to be available as well. We know about the long list of injuries on that defensive line. D'Amore Lenore, who might be, when you think about this entire season, who's your most consistent performer defensively? Mm-hmm. It might be, D'Amore Lenore. He's not going to be able to go. Now, Mooney Ward is going to be back. We don't know where his emotional state of mind is at. But Fred Warner's working with a bad wheel.
Right.
Dre Greenlaw is coming back, but he's not back yet.
No.
Talanoa Funga is not available. I mean, it gets to a point, nobody wants to, listen, I know everybody says we're all dealing with injuries, but not to this extent. I mean, I think at some point, you got to say, listen, this isn't the San Francisco 49ers of 2024. At least it's not who we broke camp with.
Exactly. And to that point, think about the guys that were on this team last year. You fired a defensive coordinator last year. Why? Because the defense weren't able to stop the run. They weren't necessarily a great defense. Who today? I'm talking about this going in this Sunday game. Think about caller, because I totally understand what it appears, because it does look like that at times. But if I ask you, which defensive lineman was starting on this team last year that's playing this Sunday?
No one.
No one. So you got to think about what you're asking. You got backups and guys that weren't even on this team last year. Now you're asking these guys to step in there and play at that type of level. And that's why Fred, you're talking about his injury. Yeah, Fred's injured, but he's not going to throw guys under the bus. He's not used to playing with some of these guys. You know, we talked about not having the full training camp because a lot of your guys were holding out. So you couldn't get the guys and the reps and stuff together. So there's a lot of things that people don't understand what it takes and what goes into having a championship type of team. You have talent, but a lot of these guys are not the guys that were in this system last year.
Speaking of guys being available and in the system, you know, when the 49ers played that Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs less than 12 months ago, they were at full strength, you know? Think about it.
Yeah.
When you looked at the injuries for the 49ers going to that game, everybody was good to go. And I don't know whether it's that battle of attrition because you've played so many games. When you think about that team that took the field against the Kansas City Chiefs and the team that's going to take the field coming up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills, it's the tale of two completely different cities.
It really is. And it's kind of sad, but Buffalo's not going to take it easy. It's like watching a prize fighter. Like the Mike Tysons, when you saw
blood in the water, baby.
And teams are like, I'm jumping on it. And they're going to take advantage of it. And this is a Niner team. You have to realize everyone couldn't wait to play the Niners. The Niners have been the king of the hill for the last several years. And now you're no longer the king of the hill. And teams are seeing that. So that's like, we can beat the Niners. And they know that the Niners aren't where they used to be. Teams said they don't care. They're going to continue.
All right, we're going to hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up in just a bit, but I do want to bring Carter's working his butt off today.
So Carter's the man.
Carter had an idea that he wanted to kick around, though. Carter, what was it?
Well, I want to know, I guess, from Niners fans, too. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. If they lose this game in Buffalo, is that the final straw? Are we finally saying goodnight on this season? And if they win it, is the season back alive?
Oh, hell yeah, if they win it, man. They win it, man. We'll all go nuts. I mean, that'll put everybody back on notice, as well as the NFL. But listen, if they lose this thing, I think that when you just look at what it is that they're up against with all the injuries, and even at full strength, I don't know that you can beat this Buffalo Bill team. I think that this is one of those, nobody's going to admit this publicly, certainly not Kyle Shanahan, but I think that they recognize that there's a good chance that this is going to be a loss. But thankfully, because you're out there in that NFC West, and it is not right. The North, man, right. Everybody's got a shot. So I don't think it's the end of the world should you lose to the Buffalo Bills, because there's a good chance that everybody gets beaten on Sunday, and I'm talking about everybody in the NFC West. That's the Rams, that's Arizona and Seattle, all playing, you know, decent teams. So this is far from over, from at least being, you're certainly not going to be mathematically eliminated, right. But I don't know that anybody's going to arrive should at the conclusion that if Buffalo, you know, spanks you pretty good, that this season's done.
Yeah, I don't think people are going to jump off the bus, because they're not going to be dead yet, especially like you just alluded to. If Minnesota takes care of the Arizona Cardinals, which is possible and very probable, the Jets, that's the biggest question mark. You know, the Saints have been playing pretty decent as late and can score some points. So you look at the Saints, they maybe can beat the Rams. So if those three teams lose and the Niners find a way to win, then no one's jumping off. But if the Niners lose and those teams lose as well, they're like, oh, we still got a chance, because I think that you can beat the Rams. I think you can beat Arizona. I think you can beat the Miami Dolphins. And it depends on what happens with, you know, Detroit. How many more injuries can they take and go through it? With this too, but if you find a way to win this, it sparks your team and gives your team life. And even if you happen to lose this game, it's the way you lose. You can't lose like you lost to Green Bay.
Ooh.
You can't just lay a turd like you did last week. You can't have 12 men on the field. You got to clean up some stuff. You got to show that you can stop the run. You got to show that you can score in the red zone. You got to be more efficient. That's what people are wanting to see. So I think that you can lose. And if you lose gracefully, lose making this a battle, it's a single score game and you go down to the wire, I don't think you jump off the boat. That's saying, hey, look, this team, it's got it together. You played against possibly the best team in the AFC and you lost, but it was a very competitive game. That's what it's about. It's about how you compete this week.
You talked about the New York Jets, who do battle with the Seattle Seahawks, coming off a bye. I mean, it's a team that everybody's got some sort of an opinion on. I'm just curious, and we talked about Bill Belichick and where he might go. He sure as hell isn't going to the New York Jets, but Aaron Rodgers was at it once again. Him and his passive-aggressive voice. You know what I noticed in doing shows with you? You're very reluctant to criticize other players. It's like an oath, man, that you've took. It's like your brethren, right?
No question. Because you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going through. And I think Aaron Rodgers is a guy that, hey, look, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Fame. And yeah, has he lost a little bit on his fastball, but he's shown you a glimpse of it. And I think here's a guy that, if you have pride, which I know Aaron Rodgers have, I think here's a guy that's going to go and say, look, even though this year is over, he understands that he wants to come back. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to leave this game with this taste in his mouth, because the performance that he given us this year, I don't think Aaron Rodgers wants to hang it up the way that he was going out.
Right. Well, here's where I was going with Aaron Rodgers, is that my only issue with him is when he does this little thing wrapped in a riddle and you got to hold it up to a mirror to understand what it is that he's saying. And so he did it again. It's sort of like when he says, I was immunized and he never got the COVID shot. But instead of just saying, no, I'm not doing the COVID shot, which is whatever, that's, you know, that's up to you. Yeah. But he said, I was immune. He plays this little game and he's doing it again because somebody asked him, oh, he's on McAfee's show.
Yeah.
And he intimated that, he's like, I like it here in New York. Like, I don't, no one says, I'm not leaving New York. I mean, listen, if the Jets don't want me, but I want to stay in New York. And they noticed that he never used the word Jets. So there's a lot of talk in New York, and I stay pretty touched to that market, that, you know, he's making a play that the New York Giants, if they need a quarterback or a quick little plug now that Daniel Jones is out of town, and, yo, Tommy DeVito isn't working out.
Tommy.
The
he's
idea.
An Italian.
I love him, by the way. I love Tommy. Tommy, get about it.
Yeah, so I don't know that they listen, New York love two guys, Tommy DeVito and Dante DiVincenzo. Oh, oofa. But yeah, the New York scene right now, when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, I just can't handle his, just see, that's the beauty of New Yorkers. New Yorkers will tell you what's on your mind. They don't play that game, man.
No, like, they don't.
And so you know, the first time, I shouldn't even share this story.
But no, share it.
First time I was, my first place in New York City, and I was so excited. I had an apartment, a doorman, And so I get on the elevator. And I'm, well, everybody has one out in New York.
Big time, baby.
And so, well, everybody, but I was going down to see the doorman, and I wanted to leave my place and say goodbye to the doorman and walk outside and do what it is that I'm going to do. And so I get on the elevator, and I'm excited to say hi to my neighbors. And so I'm in the elevator, and I'm going down. I was on a high floor, and, like, a delivery guy gets on. And, you know, he gets on. He had, like, some, I don't know, some funky food that was being delivered to somebody, and he gets off. And there was, like, sort of this, you know, weird little food aroma. And then somebody gets on the elevator after that on the fourth floor, and I was so excited. Oh, there's my neighbor. And I was like, hi. And he didn't really say anything. And the elevator closed, and we were going down. And then he took a sniff around, and he looked at me, and he said, did you just fart?
No, he told you to say
that. There was no, great. Like, hey, how are you today?
That. I love that.
What's going on?
I love
on?
That. I love it.
No talking about the weather. Right. He just went right
he
at
went
me.
He went straight in. Come at me, bro. Come at me, bro.
Yeah, and I mean, I did, but that's beside the point.
No.
But I'm like, no. Come on, man. No,
you
say,
you didn't even explain. You're like, forget this. Did you? Or you said
no? I explained it, but I laughed because there was. No, I mean, it's not like most people in California would keep that to themselves.
Yes, yes.
Or they would just say, hey, how are you, and just kind of like ignore the smell.
Yeah.
But he just flat out is like, did you just flatulate?
Right.
And
just drop heat.
And it was like, you know, the first words we've ever said to each other.
Right. He thought you smoked one of them dusters, crop dusters, and just tried to walk off. And that doesn't happen well.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's the beauty of New York, which is why Aaron Rodgers and his sort of double entendres, I just don't know how it's going to play out there. But Green Bay, like...
That's a great thought.
You think that Green Bay team is as... I mean, because it's being sold as this all-star team, and I don't know that any of those guys are really that good, aside from the William brothers. Like, Quincy and Quinton can go. Sauce Gardner's pretty good, but that's three guys. Cedric Wilson's overrated. Breece Hall's overrated. Aaron Rodgers, I think everybody in Green Bay could have told you that was going to happen. And, you know, I just don't know that everybody's saying that's such a good football team, but is it?
You're talking about the Jets, if they're such a great team.
Who did I say, the Giants?
You said Green Bay.
No. I mean the Jets. Sorry.
I don't think they're a great football team. I do believe that they're better than what their record shows. I thought they would compete for the AFC for that division with Buffalo at the beginning of the year. I thought you had Aaron Rodgers coming off the Achilles. I thought that you had some talent that you could be able to play better. I think they're better than what their record shows. No, not their record. I just think that they have enough talent to be better than what they're doing.
Okay.
And they've lost a couple close games. I think when you're looking at Seattle, I don't think Seattle is head and shoulders above them. I don't. I think you look at Buffalo, Green Bay, and Buffalo. The Jets had a chance to beat them. You watch some of their games. The Colts, they had a chance to win those games. Some of these games they should have and could have won, and they didn't. They found a way to lose the game, and that's what bad teams do. So not making an excuse for them at all. But I don't think that Seattle's a great team, and I don't think that Seattle – I think that they have a good chance, the Jets, that is, of beating the Seattle team this week.
Yeah, one of my favorite football players, and I'm just – you know, this is segue into nowhere, but – Philip Rivers.
Bill.
Philly what was Rivers. That cat? Like, that dude just seemed wired differently, right? He used to wear, like, those cowboy ties, and he had...
Oh, yeah.
How many kids did he have?
He's got 11 now, but...
11 kids!
He just had one of them, got a couple about a year ago. Philip stays. I told him to come up for air, but no, he is a great guy. Guy never... He's like, son of a gun. He won't cuss. He won't swear. He just always, gosh darn it. He's just a neat guy. Love playing with Philip. He just had such a bravado about him. I remember I tell this story all the time. You know, he's going to be the quarterback, and me and LT, every day guys get in the sauna. You want to come in, do your abs, and just work out in the sauna and get your body going in the morning. Guys love saunas, by the way. And then Philip got in there. It's just me, him, and LT. And he's rookie, and we're like, and me and LT, we just wink at each other, and I said, let's do this. And we're looking at Philip, and he's in there with us. He's like, man, I love watching you guys play. This is a rookie. So we're talking about him. We're like, man, Philip, everyone's talking about you. AJ, the GM, everyone's saying, man, you're going to be the best quarterback. You could be the greatest quarterback. He said, really? You think so? They said, we told him, you could be the greatest quarterback ever played if you just did your abs. He starts doing crunches and doing abs every time we mess with him. You ever talk to him, say, hey, what did Low and LT do to you, you know, in the sauna? So when you're talking about a guy that just worked hard, one of those good guys that love playing football, that love football, He's definitely one of those guys.
That's one of the few times when, because Drew Brees, as we had talked about the other day, was a highly drafted quarterback, and he was thought to be the future. That, where it worked out for both guys. Like, they moved off on Drew Brees, and then you're thinking, oh, all this pressure on Phillip Rivers. But Phillip Rivers, aside from, I mean, Drew Brees got the Super Bowl. Phillip Rivers did not, despite, you know, all those good teams that Norv Turner had. But it's one of those few times where it worked out for both guys. Like,
really
a trade really benefited both players.
It really did. When you see what both those guys' body of work, they're both probably going to be a Hall of Famer, you know, Drew first ballot, and what Phillip has done, his body of work, you look at him, it really worked out for both these teams. The Saints, you know, Drew Brees is an icon in New Orleans, and, you know, what Phillip Rivers did in San Diego, he's an icon. So it did. It really, really worked. It very rarely works out for both guys like the way that it did, but it did.
Before I leave Phillip Rivers, the way he threw the football, that was
very awkward.
Yeah, but it wasn't because it, like, Jim Plunkett had shoulder surgery, but it was just
mechanics.
That's the way he wanted to throw it, right?
Yeah, that was the way he wanted to throw it. Yeah. People always talked about that guy in there. It was like, ah, what is this throwing? What's this throwing action? But he was able to get it done.
All right, so I don't want to get to this Kyle Shanahan bite now, right? We'll get to it coming up in just a bit. Now,
if I was going to ask you, as I digress and jump in, if I gave you the Chiefs and I told you the Chiefs and the Bills, would you take those two to say they're going to represent the AFC and I take the Phil? So I would have the Steelers, of course, the Chargers, the Ravens. If I said Chiefs and Bills, would you take those two versus the Phil? AFC?
I would, but let me just qualify that by saying Lamar Jackson is the undefensible football player, so he scares the hell out of me.
Okay.
So you
there's a chance with the Ravens, but you think if I said, hey, if you had to pick those two versus the Phil and the AFC, you would take them?
I would.
Okay. So let's go to the NFC. If I told you the NFC, if I said, hey, look, you have to take the Lions or Green Bay and give me the Phil, and that's Philly, Minnesota, and the rest of the field, which would you?
I'd take the field.
Really? Why
the difference?
Because
of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I think Saquon Barkley is such a difference maker. I think that he is, I mean, that guy is, he's the difference between everything and nothing on that football team this year. And
how about you back there? I can't hear you. You can come on air. It's okay. Turn your mic on.
I'm taking Philly.
You act like you.
100%.
Really?
Yeah.
So you would take, okay.
I think that, for me, Philly's better than Green Bay. Even though they played, that game was hard to, at the beginning of the year when they played each other, like, that's in Brazil. It's really just hard to judge who's going to travel, the field, all that. But I'm taking Philly over Green Bay right now.
Wow.
You know what I want to do when we come back?
Tell me.
Speaking of Saquon Barkley, who's the MVP? We'll go around the room. We're not going to have a lot of time. But listen, you know, the last time a running back won it, you got to go back to Adrian Peterson, 2012.
Wow.
When he went for over 2,000 yards. So let's see if once again, I know you get excited over a running back
in
the conversation, or is it Jared Goff is a guy that we had talked about, and there's a lot of players. But we'll get into the MVP conversation, also recap the 49ers and what it is that they have and or more appropriately don't have as they take on the Buffalo Bills. It's Lorenzo Neal, it's Dan Devone on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Picture yourself in a cozy room by the fire enjoying breathtaking views of Bodega Bay. This time of the year is magical at the Inn at the Tide. Special midweek rates start at just $159 per night. Book your escape now, innatthetides.com. Kind of like your beautiful place out in the Tenderloin.
I love you, baby. You know about that Tinder, baby, the Tenderloin. I used to roll over there, baby. They love me in the Tinder.
Would you seriously just, you had no qualms of just walking around that place at any hour?
Oh, any hour. Just walk around the Tenderloin. Yeah. They would call me the big fella. They're like, what's up, Blow Deal? They would give me love in the Tenderloin, man.
Well,
I just I wouldn't bother anyone. They were all, I was always nice to people and lived right there by the YMCA. I'd just go work out there and the pool was there and It was no big deal.
You and Carter could maybe get away with it. My man Rizzo would last about 5 minutes.
Riz!
All right. We wanted to do this as we conclude the show here. I'm going to start it with the San Francisco 49ers, and then we're going to talk about the MVP, who your MVP is. If time permitting, we'll talk about the Defensive Player of the Year. Let's keep it to the 49ers, and who is the most impactful rookie? Carter, by the way, is part of this conversation. Who is the best rookie on what is a very impressive rookie class by that of the San Francisco? Of all the things that have gone wrong, you could say that this year the Niners got things right with a good rookie class and some surprises. To you, who is the most impactful San Francisco 49er rookie in this 2024 squad?
When he hits you, he stops you. And Mustafa, when he plays, I love what he's doing. He stepped in. He's played the run. He can play the pass. He's very rangy. He can plug the hole. He can play in the box. He can cover. I like him a lot. I think when you think about where they got him and what he brings to the table, for me, that is going to, if he stays healthy and can, because he hits so hard and he runs up in there, if he stays healthy, the Niners got them a safety that's going to be here for a while.
Malik Mustafa for one. Malik, Lorenzo Neal, the former Fresno State Bulldog, the former standout star in the National Football League. Carter Chickering, who is your most impactful San Francisco rookie this year?
Got to be Dominic Pooney.
There you go. God, I was hoping I'd be the only guy. And he gave me a little wink because he wouldn't tell me who it is, but go ahead.
Oh, Pooney's just, I mean, I think it was last game against the Packers, but I think was the game he kind of had his first, maybe tough time. But other than that, he's been so solid for them and started the whole year. I mean, what can you really say? It feels like they found someone in the fourth round. I mean,
I think he was a third round guy, I want to say, right? Yeah. He won in the third round. But think about where they would be without him. Because I don't know if Feliciano was good to go. Where the hell would this team be without Dom Pooney? And now that you don't have Banks and that you don't have Trent Williams, forget about running left as they like to do. Now you're going to be half, it's a highway Pooney, right? When you think about where they want to go with the football coming up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. All right, so we go Dominic Pooney. You got Malik Mustafa. Nobody's right or wrong in this thing. Renardo Green also, honorable
Understood.
Mention.
Understood.
Honorable mention for Renardo Green?
There we go. Let's go Green. Yeah. Honorable mention. Got to be.
He's been good. All right. The MVP of the National Football League, Lorenzo Neal.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, you got Josh Allen, you got Derrick Henry, you got Saquon Barkley, and you'd have to go golf. I don't even have Lamar Jackson on the paper. I don't have Mahomes on it. You can't put Lamar Jackson on this. Lamar Jackson's got better because you have Derrick Henry. Lamar Jackson, now he can't go out. He has not had to go out and win games with his arm. He wins them with his legs, and now he does not have to do that. You saw the way they played the Chargers. Derrick Henry, King Henry, the way that he's run, has taken a boatload off of his shoulders. So I don't even put Lamar Jackson in the running. I know people want to say that. Josh Allen now doesn't have all the other people, and he's carrying that team. It's truly his team. So if you gave it to Josh, I would see, okay, Derrick Henry has Lamar Jackson. So I'm not. Yeah. So with me, Saquon or Goff. With me, Saquon, I think that you would have to give it to Saquon or Josh Allen.
We got to pick one.
Saquon or Josh Allen, flip a coin. Flip a coin.
No, we need one, Lo. Come on, man.
You know what? It's been so long since you had a running back, and you look at where the Giants are since they lost, since they have no longer Saquon, and you look at Philly where they were at last year and what this guy brought to the table, I'm going to say Saquon Barkley.
By the way, the New York Giants, to trade him away.
Yeah, give him away for nothing. I mean, come on.
That's like Babe Ruth-esque when Babe Ruth was traded for, you know, Babe Ruth was traded from the Boston Red Sox to the New York Yankees, and you know why he was traded? It's so the owner could fund his play. The owner had a Broadway play. It was Bye Bye Nanette or something like that. So he needed money so that he could fund his play back in the 1920s.
And that's why he got rid of
Babe. He got rid of the Babe. All right.
That's great trivia right away.
There he is. Carter Chickering standing at 6'5 and a lean 236 pounds for the former.
Pretty in the face and slim in the waist.
I'm 6'8.
Oh, my God.
Oh, you
don't mess, man. 6'8".
A lot heavier than that, too.
Well, that I knew. The 6'8"'s a bit of a surprise. Now, go, who do you got?
Oh, man. I'm going to respectfully disagree with my man over there, Lo Neal. It's Lamar Jackson. And I'm a big fan, but I really, like, for me, he needs to get it done in the playoffs for me to get as hyped on him as people are. But he has, like, 30 touchdowns this year, I believe, is this the number. It's 30 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and all 3 of those interceptions were tipped balls.
You lost to the Steelers. Incredible. You lost to the Steelers. You had a chance. You showed me what you could do. When you can't run the ball and you have to beat him with your arm, I don't think that he's shown that he can do it. He didn't do it in the playoffs. He hasn't done it thus far. Yes, he's a prolific guy, and he's a hell of a talent. I just been seeing this pitcher, same pitcher for so long, and I see what you're saying because the numbers are unbelievable. You're absolutely right in that retrospect, but what Saquon's doing is legendary.
I'll give you my other reason, too, is because I believe the MVP award is now the quarterback award, so I take that into account.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so, yeah, by the way, I just wanted to point out that this year, when you talk, I'm sorry, I got to go, Lamar, I don't know why I'm apologizing, just because you scared the hell out of me,
no.
Man. I got to go, Lamar Jackson.
I didn't even put him in there. You put Lamar in there.
Yeah, Lamar is just, he's just, his numbers are crazy, and he's just too good. But I'm with Carter here. He's got to get to a Super Bowl, man. He can't do this during the regular season again this year and not get to that Super Bowl.
What has Derrick Henry done for him?
No, everything.
What's the text line saying? What, did that not exclude him because of D. Henry?
You know, before we look at the text line, you talked about how the Steelers have been able to handle them this year. How good is Tomlin still?
That dude's disciplined,
isn't he?
He just
okay.
That's why you don't beat him because he doesn't have a great team. You're going to play your responsibility and you're going to be tough.
So as good and as prolific as that offense has been, there is one team and one coach that has held the Baltimore Ravens to under 20 points this year in 2 games and 2 losses, and that would be the Pittsburgh Steelers and Mr. Tomlin.
I mean,
that just goes to show you how real he is. But, yeah, I'd have to say that although Lamar Jackson has got to get to a Super Bowl, and he's got to cross that threshold, and it's got to be this year. But, yeah, Derrick Henry clearly has certainly made him better. All right, do we want to do a Defensive Player of the Year?
Go ahead. What you got?
I was actually going to just add on to what you were saying, which is if you were saying, would you take the Buffalo and the Chiefs versus the field? Who are they playing? You know what I mean? Mm. Who's going to are the Ravens going to go up against Buffalo, or are they going to see the Chiefs first? Because if they're going to see the Chiefs first, I'm taking the Chiefs in Buffalo. I don't see them beating the Chiefs in the playoffs. The Chiefs just have playoff. I mean, magic, and this is what he does, he being Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I think if they were to play Buffalo, I think that they get past Buffalo.
Chris Jones, I love what he does. 95, when you watch what he does for Kansas City, you can put him up and down the defensive line. He can play your end, he can play your 3, he can play over the tackle, he can play over the guard. Chris, to me, is unbelievable. Where are you at? Can I get something on that?
I think I'm with you on that,
Wow, I got one with you. All right, big fella.
I think he's the biggest monster.
Well, here... Okay, so how much do we have to, like, take into account a one-loss record? I mean, do you have to be on a winning football team? Well, for the MVP, usually they're like, well, you got to be with a winning team. Otherwise, you're not worthy, typically.
Well, give me one with a winning record and one without.
I'm just going to give you one, and it's Myles Garrett. I think Myles Garrett is an absolute beast, but because he plays with Cleveland, who the hell knows?
But I think he shows up when he wants to. I think Miles has played spotty. I think that you're right. When he turns it on, you can't stop. He's a boy dog. I just don't think you can even compare it even close with the consistency of Chris.
By the way, speaking of football players that like to hoop, that guy, he's got crazy hops.
He looks like it. He's jumpy.
And he's taking off like from the free throw line and throwing down. He's the real deal. All right, what are you going to
for Defensive Player of the Year odds right now? TJ Watt is leading.
He's
heavily leading. Next is Will Anderson Jr. of the Texans.
That's another guy who doesn't get a lot of respect.
Then Miles Garrett.
Watt's always good. He's going to be in there. Yeah. Watt's always good. He's a player.
All right, I just want to do this really quick because it used to be Kyle Shanahan's world and nobody else, but who's the best coach right now in the NFL?
God, that's tough. Right now, you got to say Dan Campbell. Losing so many guys. Dan Campbell.
Who would have thought when he had that introductory press conference we'd be saying that?
I know. Where do you go?
Where are you going, Carter?
I would say Dan Campbell, but I also would say the Vikings coach. I mean, it is unbelievable what they have done. They were projected, I think, to be second to last odds to go to win the Super Bowl.
I like
year.
That pick.
And they're 9-2, I think. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell has been nothing short of amazing. And he's from that same McVay and Kyle Shanahan tree. It'll be interesting to see what happens when, of course, you know, J.J. McCarthy is good to go next year.
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones. All right, that's going to do it. For Lorenzo Neal, it's been a blast. My man Carter Chickering, this is Dan Avar. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning for Warriors This Week. Until then, enjoy the evening, everybody. So long.
Peace.